You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. Momo's going to join us in 2 minutes. Greg, what do you got?
All right. So Urban Meyer is officially the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, what I want to know is over under three.
Okay.
And
why?
A half
hold on. Okay. Why are you? Why does it sound like you're drowning underwater? Like literally, you
see,
didn't.
Now,
I didn't hear you at first, and then I heard you say Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. I figured it out, and then your voice went away again. Like, what is going on there?
I'm trying to move my microphone away from my face so it's not too loud. Does it sound better now?
It sounds fine now.
You're good.
Ahead. Tell me the story.
Then I will stick here. So Urban Meyer is now officially the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Now, how long do you give him over under 3.5 years before he says something along the lines of, I will never coach again?
I mean, he says that at every stop. So I mean,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
so
I'm going to go
under
on that. Now, he does have a unique situation where he has the number one pick. They've got 11 draft picks. He can get Trevor Lawrence. But listen, I think Urban Meyer is going to be a flop. Okay. If Nick Saban didn't work in the NFL, now granted, Urban Meyer has the upper hand of having the number one pick in the draft. But Nick Saban also, different time, right? He was, coming into the NFL before the quarterback was a complete necessity, right, where we all knew you had to take a quarterback. He was still kind of in that in-between phase where people were still taking running backs high, and he took Ronnie Brown instead of Aaron Rodgers. But, boy, did that not work out great. God, I'm still mad
about
that.
It was bad.
I'm still so mad about that.
It was terrible.
So mad about that. But the I think Urban Meyer, like, here's the thing that Nick ran into that Urban Meyer will run into. It's that in college, you can recruit five, six guys that'll be number one first-round draft picks. In the NFL, you only get one usually. You know what I mean? So even though he can get Trevor Lawrence, he's still got to make the right picks with the other guys. And I just don't know if he's willing to compromise on that stuff and be good at that stuff. Because these guys are so used to having so much control in college. So I think he's going to flop, personally. And you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles.
Yep, I totally agree. I don't think that college coaches really ever work in the NFL because
no, I don't know about never. I mean, Jimmy Johnson
most of the
worked.
Time.
Yeah,
most of the time there are very few that actually do work out.
Yeah, I mean there are guys who work out, but yeah, you're right.
All right, so the last story will be coming out of Houston, and since we're talking about James Harden so much, Houston car wash is giving out free washes in exchange for James Harden jerseys, and what they plan to do with those jerseys afterwards, burn all of them. Is this a smart decision by the car wash or just kind of nonsense?
I hate the burning jersey thing. It's just so stupid. Like, it's so dumb. Like, give those jerseys away to, like, a homeless shelter, like, or something. Like, you know, the Goodwill, the Salvation Army. Like, stop burning jerseys. Like, this is stupid. I don't care if it costs you a free car. Like, I don't have a problem if someone is turning it in for the free car wash, but the disposing of the jerseys is stupid.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the car wash itself, you should get a lot of cars to go in that way.
No, I agree. I don't have a problem with you turning it in for a free car wash. I have a problem with the place wanting to burn the jerseys. It's just dumb. It's a dumb practice.
It's all to get their name in the media, which they absolutely did. And that'll do it for What You Need to Know.
By the way, I love how you turn into, like, broadcastery game show voice guy.
Hey.
That is what they do to get into the media, and they have. Momo! Back to you as Momo joins us here now. Do you like Greg's broadcaster voice?
Hey.
Maybe trying a little too hard.
Curtis, do me a favor.
You guys suck.
Cut that up. Cut that before we transition to Momo there and before I called him out for the broadcaster voice. I want to play that today 100 times if we can. Because I want people to hear that. Yes, thank you, Curtis. I appreciate it. Curtis is in for Laura today. Momo, how the hell are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us. Clearly, you were busy yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun. You know what's funny, though? Like, the thing with those kind of trades is, like, it's sort of like, you know, it seems imminent for, like, hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it seems, like, imminent like that, and then it just doesn't even happen.
Right.
And so anytime you actually pull off, it's kind of amazing. You know what I mean? They actually pulled that off. They actually got James Harden.
Yeah. Yeah. Mom, are you there? Because you were kind of breaking up a little bit there. Okay. Maybe we've lost her. We'll work on that. Bergman,
You gonna make fun of me again for my radio voice?
I mean, I Curtis, there's no way Curtis turned it around that quickly. But I really do want to make fun of it until we get Momo back. I don't. What? Why did you talk like that though?
So I don't know when I'm changing my voice, but it was really just because I was transitioning over to that'll do it for what you need to know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Momo. Real
Am I
quick.
Back? Am I back?
Yeah, you are back. You are back. You are back.
Yeah,
so you're saying that you said that sometimes those things happen and they never even materialize, but this one, it did happen, right? Obviously, in a pretty short amount of time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was interesting with Harden doing the press conference that night before. I think that's I had been hearing chatter for a couple days before that, like, things are heating up, and the thing is, it's sort of like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it, right? It's like the trade who cried wolf, right? And you just kind of get to this point where it's like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. But when he did that press conference the night before, I was like, oh, okay, it's close. He wouldn't have done that press conference like that if it wasn't close,
you know?
He just needed to give Houston that last, kick.
Yeah. Just like, hey, come on, let's go. Let's get this across the finish line. By the way, we were also doing that too, and I will take people behind the scenes. I know that Josh, one of the producers at Around the Horn, was texting you because I was on the horn yesterday. And
that must have sucked.
We were sitting around for 2 hours waiting to figure out when that was going to drop. And what we ended up getting it done, but good Lord. We were just sitting there going like, come on. Like, we were all looking at our phones like, come on, Ramona. Come on, Momo. Come on, Woj.
Exactly.
One of you. Do
you
it, please.
With? Who were you on with?
It was me, Kevin Blackistone, Tim Kalishaw, and Emily Kaplan.
Okay, so Kaplan would have been cool because she's just like young and, excited to be on. And I think she's great, by the way.
Yeah.
You're cool because you're easygoing, but you also have a radio show to get to and like.
Right, but I did it yesterday. You know? All I had was the Clipper-Pelican game, so there was that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one was, it was interesting because like I got the call around 8:30 in the morning, thinking that hey, it's on. It's between Philly and Brooklyn.
Right.
And I think we're gonna know within a few hours. And I called Woj, and we kind of we were like at the ready and.
Yeah.
Then I got a call saying, hey, imminently. And that's when, after we reported, that's why he's not practicing today, okay? Yeah. And it's imminent. I think I was texting with Josh the whole time saying, like, if I were you, Josh, I would tape both segments. I said, I'm 90% sure it's going to be Brooklyn. But if you want to just send, if you want it to be Brooklyn, if I were you, I would just tape both segments. A, it's Brooklyn, and B, it's Philadelphia.
So we taped three. Right? We taped
did
three.
You really?
We did a it's imminent, nothing is happening, but what do you think?
Yep.
We
yep.
taped a Brooklyn, and we taped a Philly. So we did three of them, actually, yesterday, which
was
pretty hilarious.
I was trying to spare you from the Philly one, because I didn't think it was going to be Philly.
Right.
But I really did think it was going to be imminent, and I think, honestly, the delay – there was about an hour where I got a call saying imminent, they're deciding final offers.
Yeah.
And then like 5 minutes. And I think I told Josh that you guys were probably excited. And then it was like an hour and a half later. And I was like, hey, what happened to imminent? And a couple of people I was talking to were like, I think they're trying to flip LeVert. Right. Like that was the last.
Well, and now we know because there was four teams involved. So that's why it took so long. Right.
The three teams was kind of like, that was heating up, I think, the night before and coming into focus, right? Whether it was going to be Philly or it was Cleveland was going to get those other two guys and do the other pick, right?
Right.
So that was kind of working out with both deal constructions.
Right.
So it was interesting.
Yeah. But, what a crazy day. Like for 2 hours, everybody on social media was going nuts until it happened, people really went nuts.
Well, and you know, when you have like a big trade like that, when you get the final call, and you're like, it's done. Okay. When I got a call and then I called Woj, he got a call. We had, two, three sources on this. And it was, you're still nervous. Like, you're still like, you're typing it out.
Yeah.
And your hands are like shaking.
Yeah. I get it. Because it's really a lot of information to take in, it's a lot of stuff to have to get right because you got to get it right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
like, that's what I don't think people realize why your job and Woj and everyone who does that, their job, the job is so hard because there's so much information coming at you so fast, right? Yeah. When it comes in a tidal wave. Imagine like all those details that you guys had to put out in a matter of seconds. And by the way, you had to do it quickly because someone else will also try to beat you to that story as well.
Yeah. And those details change just a little bit as they're coming out. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like I kind of had a sense of a deal construction, you know, in the morning. I think I texted you what I thought it was going to look like, right? Four firsts, four swaps, and these players.
Right.
But you don't put that out until you're 100,000% sure from like two, three sources, because sometimes things just change a little bit. Like a second round pick gets added in there and somebody who was in the trade gets pulled out of the trade. I mean,
it
changes, you know, so many times.
It's nerve-wracking.
I told Woj, I said, listen, let's just report James Harden is going to Brooklyn.
right.
And the first one is he's going to Brooklyn. It's done. Then when we get all, then when we confirm every little
details
detail
to follow,
details as we get one more confirmed. Because, you know, the problem is if you get one little thing wrong, and I've had this happen to me in my career before where like this was last year. I remember it was actually this ended up being somewhat historically significant. Okay. This was, remember last year when Jimmy Butler went to Miami and there was a trade with Dallas and the initial trade construction.
The Goran Dragic deal that fell through, right?
Right. That deal was supposed to go through. Okay. Right. That was the initial construction. If you're a Heat fan, you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad that didn't happen. Right.
Right.
I mean, Goran Dragic was amazing for them last year. And, you know, if you're a Mavs fan, you're like, oh my God, Goran Dragic with Luka Doncic, that would have been amazing too. Right.
Yeah.
But there was a one construction to that. And then the Mavericks kind of backed out of that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, so that's one of those things like you learn, like, even though you have all the details and all the, you know, a couple sources on it, until there's a trade call, right? Until there's a trade call where all the deal, everybody says yes, and the league says yes, and they fax everything into the off-league office, it's not done.
Yeah.
People can change their minds. People can turn things around.
Right. Yeah, no question about it. Before I go to break here, because I do want to talk about kind of how what this means for the Lakers and kind of their championship chase and how the landscape in the league looks different from a title contender standpoint. Now, very small sample size.
Okay.
I spoke to a front office person today. Okay. So it's only one. and they said to me, they feel like maybe Brooklyn gave up a little too much.
Yep.
Because, again, if you look at like the Clippers trade for Paul George, that was almost like a 2-for-1. Like in essence, Sam Presti was bringing them, it was landing them Kawhi and Paul George.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Whereas until KD re-signs in Brooklyn in a couple of years, we won't know if this was enough, if this was too much or just enough until that happens.
That's right. I agree with that. But I also feel like, you know, in some ways, the situation with Kyrie Irving factors into this. And I know Sean Marks said it didn't, et cetera. But I can tell you that there was deep debate within the Nets front office and ownership, et cetera, over the past week and a half about how the Kyrie Irving situation should affect their thinking on this deal. I think they were interested in this, in getting James Harden before anything happened with Kyrie. So that's true. Okay. But they had to process this. Like, what does Kyrie Irving's situation mean for how aggressive we should be about this deal? And is it, you know, when you say too much, we said the same thing about Anthony Davis trade. We did.
No, I said it. No, not me. No, I did not. I pushed back on that because I think that knowing LeBron, right? Just that fit with LeBron, I was like, that's exactly what he needs. I just think there's a lot of questions with this. And let's tackle some of those on the other side. Right. And let's also talk about what this means for the Lakers and the Clippers even in their title chases. So let's get into all that on the other side. Momo's going to be with us all hour. We'll get back in about 3.5 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, on second thought, was it as bad as I thought it was in on the initial, you know, on the initial try? Craig?
Thank you. Thank you.
Play it one more time,
just
Curtis.
Just talking.
I mean, you kind of sang it. He did sing it. Yeah. And he sang it. He sang it,
too. I had a lot of post-processing.
All right, okay. I'm going to actually defend Greg here.
Thank you.
Because as the person who did the podcast, right, the 30 for 30 podcast,
yeah,
there's a certain voice you have to have. There's a certain voice that you have to have as your podcast voice. And it's a little slower and a little richer, and you pause for emphasis.
Emphasis. Right? I love it.
Right, it's like you have to have something. Like you can't just talk normal when you're doing like podcast voice, right? Like I'm doing podcast Momo, right? And it's still you, but it's you with a little more of a smooth delivery. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Curtis, one more time. He sang it a little bit. The pause, and he sang it. He did sing it. I mean, not as bad, not as egregious as I thought initially, though. Definitely
there's
not.
There's a little bit of inflection. I'm sorry I changed
my voice. It's fine. Yeah. Listen, I can admit if I may have oversold something. I can absolutely admit that.
All right. Thank you.
So, Momo.
But it's funnier either way. Let's just pretend that you didn't, and it was funny.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was funny in real life when I heard it, and maybe I wanted to hear it a different way, but anyway.
Yeah. Greg, so, is what you were really saying is, and that'll do it for what you need to know.
I'm going to do
right?
the next
That's
what you need
you were
to know.
Trying to do it.
I'm going
to
do it in a radio voice. The entire what you need to know will be in a radio voice at 5:55.
Nice.
I promise that.
Nice.
All right, there we go. That's what I want to hear. Momo will stick around just to hear it. There you go. All right, so Momo, before we get to the Lakers and what the Brooklyn thing means for them, let's finish the Brooklyn discussion here.
Okay.
So this big three, and look, I have firsthand knowledge of covering a big three, right? Like I remember that. It was not always fun. It was, but it wasn't, right?
Like there's entertaining though.
Always entertaining, right? Like there's a lot that, you know, of stuff that goes into covering one of those teams. I do think, though, look, no team will ever have to deal with the vitriol that team dealt with. But this team doesn't have a guy in Chris Bosh that doesn't need the ball, right? This team has three guys that kind of need the ball. And that, to me, while I think they are the best team in the Eastern Conference, because I do firmly believe that stars win, right? And they have the most stars in the East. I don't think they're better than the Lakers. I'm not sure they're better than the Clippers. And then they have the situation of, I don't know how Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni and Jacques Vaughn and them on that staff are going to be able to deal with three ball-centric guys.
Yeah, it's interesting because when we've seen other big threes, like LeBron and AD was a big two, but they totally fit together. They really did. Like, their games are just great fits. I think it's probably the best fit that LeBron's had with any other teammate. And just in terms of, you know, what AD does, you know, and how he can play off of LeBron. These guys, I wouldn't look at it and say that's a fit. I wouldn't. I mean, and I think that, like, if there's anyone who could figure it out, it's Mike D'Antoni. And, mm-hmm. and he's the offensive wizard there. Steve Nash, obviously, Mike D'Antoni's offense is Mike D'Antoni's offense, but it's also created by Steve Nash. Like, he's co-creator. Like,
right.
lyrics by Mike D'Antoni, melody with Steve Nash, right? Okay,
yeah.
If you want to say it. Like,
yeah.
lyrics
yeah.
and music, right? So, to me, like, they brought in this era of positionless basketball. They created this, you know, the modern idea of spacing and all that. I think it's going to be a really interesting science project for them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I still have this. I'll send it to you at some point when Mike D'Antoni was the coach of the Lakers. And he was just kind of like diagramming for me how offense should look. And he starts writing out on a note. I gave him my notepad and he started like diagramming it all. And it was interesting. And he sees basketball like jazz. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like he just
yeah.
sees it as like the ball's got to find motion and it's got to move and it's none of those guys strike me as basketball jazz. They all kind of strike me as, like, isolation, a lot of dribbling.
Right.
Really good at that. So, I see what you're saying, you know, in this world of, like, how the hell is that going to fit together?
By the
I
way,
also,
By the way, did you hear what Charles Barkley said on TNT today?
No, what'd he say? What'd he say?
He said, man, Kevin Durant went from the Splash Brothers to the Dribble Brothers.
I mean, it's not wrong.
No.
And, you know, it's just from a basketball fit standpoint, it's hard to picture it right away. Yes. But I also think you never know when a guy is ready to win. Like, when they're really ready to do what it takes to win. You know, that same thing that Doc Rivers always talked about in Boston with those three guys. Now, I think those three guys fit together really well.
Yeah.
One was a defensive superstar, Kevin Durant, like Bill Russell, okay? Like, he's just – I mean, sorry, Kevin Garnett. He's like a Bill Russell type. He's like defense, rebounding, snarling. I mean, he's a good low post player, good high post player. But, he, you know, he fit really well with Paul Pierce, who was the slasher, and then Ray Allen, who's the shooter. It was like those three skill sets fit together. These three skill sets – I don't quite see it, but I'm going to be really interested to find out because, like, you got two guys who are sort of combo guards who are more like James Harden, I think, is more point guard than shooting guard. Kyrie's more shooting guard than point guard, but they're sort of interchangeably, they've done that in their careers.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of isolation basketball, just based on their skill sets. But I also think, you know, just talent wins sometimes.
So, right. No, and that's generally been the history of the sport.
Right. Talent figures out a way to win. They just, you know, and maybe James Harden is at the place in his career where it's like we always say he needs another fit, he needs another player, he needs another, you know. Maybe he really did this because he's ready to win. I don't know. We'll see. I'll give it a month before I start really weighing in on how it looks. Give it a
month. Yeah, I had this discussion on Horn yesterday with our buddy Kevin Blackstone, and he's like, you know, James Harden, you know, does it's going to be weird because he's going to want to be the man and this, that, and the other. And I said, no. I said, James Harden doesn't go to a team with Kevin Durant and think he's the man. Like, I know that all these guys have egos, but there's no way that he believes he's better than Kevin Durant, right?
He might in his own way. You know what I mean? Like, I think they all – I think what's fun about it, too, is, like, Harden and Durant played together for, like, several years where Harden was the sixth man, remember?
Yes.
And it was – he was not James Harden at the time. He was like everyone I've talked to who knew him back then said he was a little bit of a different guy back then. Even he wasn't a full fledged superstar in his own right. So I think that with him, it's really going to be, has he been humbled enough to understand, like, Kevin Durant's the alpha there. He's the best player. Like, he just is. And James Harden, he probably eats second. And Kyrie's going to have to eat third. None of their profiles make me think that that's going to be okay with him eventually, right? Like, they've all eaten first. Like, Kyrie left LeBron because he wanted to, you know, be eat the more. Guy. He wanted to, eat more, right? Okay. But it's maybe sometimes when you put three sort of radioactive elements together, maybe they do find some stability. I don't know.
We'll see.
It's a really interesting chemistry experiment, and you and I are in the business of content and stories.
No, they're going to provide plenty of it. And I want to talk about how that content will shift and perhaps change the way the Lakers look at it, because LeBron was noncommittal on answering about the Brooklyn Nets yesterday because he was focusing on their game. But my guess is he'll have more to say here over the coming days as they get ready to take on the Pelicans tomorrow. I'm sure he may have some thoughts on that. But you and I can discuss what this means for the Clippers and the Lakers specifically in their chase for championships. So we'll get into that on the other side. We'll be back in 3.5 minutes. Momo hanging out. Sedano and LZ, 710 ESPN. Song. Normally on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock, but we didn't have a show this week. This is literally Momo, our first show this week, because the Lakers have been on.
Is that really?
Yeah. Because the Lakers have been on, so it's like we haven't had a show. We'll have a short show tomorrow, and then I'm on the game. I'm on Lakers Pelicans with Mark Jackson and Dave Pasch. I'll actually get to see Ireland in person for the first time in 10 months. So that'll be interesting, but. I think the last time I saw Ireland in person might have been the week before COVID. I don't even think I saw him in L.A. I think I saw him in New Orleans because the Lakers were playing in New Orleans. I want to say that was the place I saw him last. But speaking of the Lakers, so the big deal, the Brooklyn Big Three now, You know, we mentioned LeBron didn't have an opinion on it just yet. Have you talked to anyone at the Lakers or the Clippers just in regards to whether it's a player or whatever, just someone in the organization about how they feel? Also, how do you feel about them as a title contender in comparison to the Lakers and the Clippers?
I haven't talked to anyone specifically there. Just like a little text here or there. Nothing that I would even point to as somebody's opinion.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
A little back and just a slight back and forth.
Yeah.
But what I would say is, I mean, look, if you're the Lakers and the Clippers, the Lakers are the defending champs. Like, everybody's got to go through them.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, there is some I think what's most fascinating about it to me is, look, the team in the Eastern Conference that if they were to get back to the finals, like who they come out to play, last year we thought, oh, okay, Milwaukee, maybe Boston or Toronto or something, right? It'll be in Miami, okay? They got – whoever it is, they got to get there. Now, the Lakers, I would say, from a matchup standpoint, got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, James Harden is James Harden, yeah, but they did all right on him last year in the playoffs. He didn't kill him. You know, they did all right defending him on the perimeter. They have a lot of guys who can do that. Kyrie, yeah, he would be an individual one-on-one problem. And then I think like Anthony Davis guarding Durant, right? I mean, that's what I put on him. I'd feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, they go small. That's what you do because you don't really worry about like DeAndre Jordan or anyone.
No.
LZ is back. He was having some issues.
I was throwing up.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that until you said it.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. You know, there was some undigested sushi I noticed in there.
Oh, no.
So it must have been
lunch.
That's
never good. Did you get, like, gas station sushi or something?
No. That's the thing. Like, this is going to sound ridiculous. That was the first time I've had sushi in Arizona since we bought this house. Because I'm like, there's no water.
Yeah.
I don't trust it.
Right.
Right.
And I've been trying to be better about my diet. You know, I want to get shredded for the summer and stuff. So I was like, I'm going to do protein shakes for breakfast, eat sushi, blah, 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 blah. And the first time I went and had sushi at this one spot, I end up a little gurgly. I've been gurgly all day, but I've been basically ignoring it. But as I've been sitting, it's just been more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the finger thing and took care of business.
Oh, man. The finger thing, I mean, it is efficient.
It's a go-to.
Yeah, it is efficient.
Because at first I was waiting for it to come naturally, and like 10 minutes went by, and I was like going, no, forget this.
So, just a backstory, Bobo. Before you came on, we did the last segment before you came on. LZ goes to me, George, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I gotta throw up. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. he's like, I'll just wait till Momo gets here, and then that way you can just do it. I'm like, okay, cool.
Oh, you should have told me. I would have come on a little bit earlier. I was just hanging.
You know, I didn't know you would. Down
you could have texted
like
me.
That.
You could have texted me and be like, "You ready? Can you come out a little early?" I'm
but
not,
it was,
you know,
it was so funny. It was like driving, and you have like an eighth of a tank of gas left. So you're it's nervous.
Yeah, you're not
it's,
quite it's there.
Not quite there, but you're still you're nervous.
Okay, but I'm gonna tell you a little story. This is, are we just gonna gross each other out today? Because why not? All right,
just
go.
Just go.
All right. I was hosting a show with Kellerman one day. Mm-hmm. Max Kellerman was he used to have the Max and Marcella show, right?
Yep.
And I was in with him, and I was having that same thing. I don't know what it was. I was just like, oh man, I need to make it through this show. Oh boy. And you start getting that kind of cold, clammy sweat.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yep.
It's my whole body's just needing to just. And I thought I was gonna make it. I thought I was fine. And then there was this part where I was like, I'm literally on air. I'm literally on air, and I'm like,
oh no,
oh my god, what am I gonna do? Oh no, and I mean, what am I like, Max? I gotta go, Max. I gotta grab this trash can.
Oh no,
next to me in the studio, like it was like there. I was like, oh, I mean, usually it doesn't happen that quick. Usually, you got a minute or two.
Yeah.
No,
right.
It was happening. Oh. It was going, I was just like, oh no, what do I do? So I just kind of like held it in. I just kind of like burped a little and held it in. A little bit came up, and I was like, oh, that's so gross. That's so gross.
Yeah.
But I don't even think he noticed. I really don't.
It
he
was
just
like,
keeps talking to Max.
He's probably adjusting his, his sunglasses.
No, he was probably on some sort of soliloquy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just going on, like doing his doctoral thesis. Yeah.
Right.
You just let him go. I mean, I talk a lot too, but like when I would host with Max, the first 2 hours, I would let Kellerman just go. And every once in a while, I would like get in there just a little bit. But then he would get a little tired. It was a 4-hour show. So I was like, okay, I'll get to talk in the second 2 hours. Like, so it was like early enough in the show that I was like, oh, it's okay. So like, I really don't even think he noticed. I think I just kind of was like, and I just kind of coughed, and it just was like, okay, that was gross.
Should we call him up and
let him know
reveal?
That day you right now you were throwing up.
And I just like immediately went and got like a soda at the because gross. That's so gross in your mouth. Oh god.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, the Max Kellerman show each and every weekday at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
On,
good plug, George. Good
ESPN.
Plug.
So entertaining.
That's right.
You yes. don't get up to throw up.
Yeah. All right. Let's finish this Lakers conversation.
Yeah.
On the other side, and how you know what you know you were making a point, Ramona, about. The Lakers are the champs, and there is a certain confidence that comes with that. So we'll discuss that when it comes to Brooklyn on the other side and get into the Clippers a little bit and then get a quick thought on the playoff games this weekend in the NFL from you before we let you go. So thank you so much for sticking around. Momo will be back. LZ is back, and we will be back in about 3 minutes. But first, my girl Karen Kay with a look at traffic.
And I'm good. Hope you guys are feeling good now. Hey, we're going to go to Griffith Park. Two car crash blocking the left lane. Don't make me laugh, Momo. 134 eastbound, right before Riverside Drive, Victory Boulevard. Traffic is now stopped from Buena Vista Street, Riverside Drive. So that's bunching up through Griffith Park. This report sponsored by Taco Bell. Your cravings for Taco Bell's nacho fries can haunt you anywhere at any time. And there's only one way to escape. Run to a participating Taco Bell location near you because nacho fries are back for a limited time. With traffic, I'm Karen K, 710 ESPN.
Oh, my God. Seriously? You going to pull that one up on me?
That's a long time.
That is a long
That's
time,
That's a long
girl.
Time. That was a long time ago, too. I've definitely farted in the last 2 months. Yeah. It's been a long time. Yeah.
I've farted in the last 2 minutes. I hope you've had more than that.
Momo hanging out. Sitano DelZ with you here on 710 ESPN.
Wow.
We have talked about throwing up.
Man.
Last couple of segments. We do want to talk, instead of farting around, we want to talk about the Lakers real quick. So, Momo, you were saying that the Lakers are the champs. And you know what? That's the deal. So, Brooklyn, you come with your fancy little big three, and it don't mean nothing.
That's right. It doesn't mean anything until you do it. I mean, look, these we've seen these big threes before. They don't always work. They got to fit together. They got to be together. We don't know. And I think part of the reason, George, that Brooklyn felt okay about doing this trade is just the uncertainty with Kyrie. Like, is he going to be back? If he comes back, what's it going to be like? So if you don't know if you have Kyrie 100% in all the way, then maybe you don't have a big three. Maybe you just have a big two. But at least you got a big two now. And you're not wasting
it's
Kevin
insurance.
Durant's prime. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insurance for sure. LZ had a great point, a great question earlier, LZ, before you went to go throw up, about the pecking order. Why don't you ask Momo that question?
Yeah, why are so many people naturally assuming that James Harden is now going to be the Robin as opposed to Kyrie, who's the one who has, in my opinion, the better resume?
So you're saying Harden should be Alfred?
He should be. He's the one.
And not Kyrie.
Everyone else has been to the finals but him. He went once.
Oh, no, he'd been there.
Won.
Yeah, he went
He
once.
Was with OKC.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Yeah, but he don't have a ring. KD and Kyrie have rings.
He doesn't have a ring.
And and when he went as Alfred. Did he not?
Yeah, he did. He was
He did
man.
Go as Alfred and played like if he was actually Alfred.
Exactly. So I'm like, wow.
I mean, remember that? Do you remember what happened? There was all those rumors about him and Trina, and like she did some hex on him or something, or I don't remember.
Oh,
it was
no.
something crazy like
Forget
that.
All that.
I honestly felt it was because he was tasked with guarding LeBron James. And it's like no one that young is going to come out looking good in the finals against LeBron James at the height of his powers.
Well, actually, all three of those guys were still at the peak of their powers that year, and and those guys were way too young to compete against them.
Yeah. So I don't fault them as much, but it seems as if it may have been a precursor, based upon some of the other shortcomings he's had since he's been in Houston as the lead dog in critical moments in the postseason. Anyone can go, and I know there are Harden fans right now going, "He averages blah 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 blah. What are you talking about?" Blah, blah. I'm talking about the money moments. the moments.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because SportsCenter had a graphic today, and I know this will sound crazy based on what you're talking about, the money moments, but since the 2013-14 season when he was traded to the Houston Rockets, James Harden has more points in quote unquote clutch time than any other player in the sport.
Mm. Wow.
Nope. Not buying it. And it's like you can take your numbers and you can shake them up and you can characterize someone being anything that you want. But we all are ballers here on this show. And we all know what we see with our damn eyeballs. When I mean money moments, I'm not just talking about points per game. I'm talking about, are you able to do what needs to be done? Can you chase down Andre Iguodala and get the crucial block? Can you do the things that need to be done? Yeah, you may get the points, but when are those points coming? You say clutch. I look at clutch totally different than what analytics may look at clutch as. Because to me, there are clutch moments in the second quarter. There are clutch moments in the third quarter. When a team is going on a run of 7-8 points, clutch to me in the second quarter is getting a bucket saying, stop that. You're not getting the double digits. Those are the moments that I'm talking about. And when I look with my eyeballs, I look and I go, in the postseason, That's all I'm saying. That those moments, for me, based upon watching James Harden, I've watched him a lot, particularly in the postseason. Those moments, to me, escape him.
Momo, what do you think?
I think LZ's right. Look, I've covered too many James Harden playoff series where he runs out of gas in game 6 or game 7. And it's somebody else.
But that's
else
not
on
an excuse
team.
Anymore now on this team. That's
right.
Not an excuse
that's
anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I know that he runs out of gas because he's been carrying the whole load, et cetera. But one of the things I'll say, and I'm just going to steal this from Doc Rivers forever because I think it's such a good point. And Doc said, he goes, look, when you're dealing with LeBron James, like LeBron looks at his team and he, you know, obviously he puts some input in like what we still need and what would help us win. But when it's time to go, he just says, we got me and I'm going to make these guys win. I'm going to make everybody better. And like some of those teams that he went to the finals with in Cleveland early on in his career, even the team he went to the finals with in Cleveland his last year. I mean, come on. Right?
Yeah.
If you're like really that good, then you got to look at that and say, like, if you're really as good as LeBron, if you're in that same conversation, then you look at your team. Like, it should have been enough. Like, he had all NBA players on his team the last 3 years, and it wasn't enough. And I think that's Hall of Famers. Yeah. And so, like, to me, like, if I'm James Harden has a lot to prove. And this is another thing I think with this team, too. And I don't know if we give LeBron enough credit for this, but we live in a really tough media landscape. You all three of us know what it feels like when you say something stupid and people start kill you on Twitter or whatever it is. It's like a day. It's a little uncomfortable. Your mentions are pretty ugly for a minute. You got to like shake it off, brush it off, move on to the next. Say you're sorry if you need to, right? But like these guys, like it is real for us. It's like here and there, like little spot fires pop up. For these guys, it's every single day, right? Every single day they are dissected and chewed up and spit out on social media or whatever it is. I think LeBron James handles it better than anybody. I really do.
Oh my God. There's no question.
Like, yeah. And that is, I think, part of winning in this era. You know what I mean? And I think the other three that we're talking about, KD and Kyrie and James Harden, I don't think they do so well with it. You know?
Elsie, do you think that Brooklyn
is blaming us for him being absent from the team right now? He's blaming the media probably.
I know.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? It's like that's almost part. It's like an occupational hazard now. Anybody in the public eye like that, this is an occupational hazard. You have got to learn how to compartmentalize that and to keep your focus on the prize, right? What's LeBron say? To keep the main thing the main thing?
Yeah.
I mean, he's amazing at that. And he not only does it for himself, but everyone else on the team. Like last year, Dwight Howard, Mr. Twitter mentioned himself.
Yeah.
He was all right.
Yeah.
He didn't get obsessed with that stuff.
Yeah. LeBron stole that from Riles, though. That's where he got that from.
I know, but it's okay. We all steal from each other.
No, I know. Listen, I do it every day.
I'm sure Riles got it from somebody else. You know?
Yeah.
That kind of wisdom handed down, mm-hmm. you know, is not, you know, it can't be easily traced. I'll just put it that way. And I've always thought it was interesting by our own boredom in this industry, how we tend to look past greatness because we've gotten bored covering it. And so we try to anoint other aspects because we, as an industry, want new stories. We don't want to write the same thing over and over again. But sometimes the story is just the story. You know, I tweeted something earlier this morning that hit me when I woke up. LeBron James is about to enter his fourth White House administration being an MVP candidate. Four damn presidents.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. That is amazing.
Like, why are we comparing Kawhi to LeBron James?
No.
Why are we doing that?
No. Ask your boy Max. Ask Kellerman. You can listen to it at 11 o'clock every day on this station.
Another hot plug. Because we're bored and we want to do hot takes and we want to, you know, pierce through the noise. Yeah. But sometimes, you know what? It's not noise. It's a chorus. It's a beautiful symphony. He is what it is.
Yeah. Momo, real quick, before we break and we listen to Greg do what you need to know in his ridiculous broadcaster voice that LZ missed earlier. Who wins, the Rams or the Packers? The Rams are 6.5-point underdogs.
Oh, I want to be on the Ram train, but I'm going to pick the Packers here. I think Aaron Rodgers got it going. Sorry.
Yeah. All right, we will break. We will listen to Greg do a really pukey broadcaster voice for what you need to know. And then Momo will leave us just because she wants to hear it. And then Clinton will join us. We will talk to Clinton Yates, our pal, in the 6 o'clock hour for a bit as well. Sedano and LZ, Greg and his pukiness next.